It is time for another edition of the Conservative Thought Hour. Rick Stannard is with me this morning. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
How are you?
Spectacular.
Good. We have a great show ahead.
Boy.
And we welcome your calls. Our studio line's always open for you, 941-460-1530. This guy has been making the rounds, so to speak, Rick. Former actor, TV host, and former Navy SEAL, Cade Courtley, says he quit Hollywood because he couldn't fully express his love for the United States while working in the industry. Courtley told Fox News that being able to freely express his beliefs was more important to him than landing jobs in TV hosting and stunt work. Just last week, he was on Fox and Friends, owner of Victory Coffees. And Cade joins us this morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, it's a pleasure, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Cade. Yeah. Cade, first off, we want to thank you for your service.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what, it was absolutely the best job in the world, and to be able to serve this country in that capacity, I honestly feel like I won the lottery every time I think about it.
So did we, every time we think about
yeah.
it. You left the military and went to Hollywood. Tell us about your time there. And how has that impacted your feelings and thoughts?
Well, I tell you what, I had done a little over 9 years active duty in the SEAL teams as an officer, a platoon commander. And at that point in time as an officer in the SEAL teams, the nine-year mark, you got to decide, do you want this to be a career and go to the 20, or are you going to go move on and do other things? Now, the entire reason I wanted to be in the SEAL teams was to lead men and do the operations and be what we call a shooter, actually out there and you're going out in the ops. At the nine-year mark as an officer, that slows down tremendously, if not stops at all. So the decision I made was, well, what I wanted to do in the SEALs I felt like I accomplished, and so I was looking for sort of the next chapter in my life. I had done some limited stunt work while I was still in the SEAL teams, and that's kind of what lured me up to Los Angeles to get involved in that business up there, because it was really fun work. The stunt guys in Hollywood are the closest thing I can think of as Navy SEALs. I mean, they work hard, they play hard, they take care of each other, they watch each other's back. I thought that's the way it was in the entire business, and I could not have been more wrong. They don't operate by any rules that other businesses operate by. They're incredibly opinionated about things. And the craziest thing about, you know, the First Amendment, I mean, what industry does that protect more than the arts and the ability to express yourself freely?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a different opinion, like I'm a conservative, good luck getting a job in a town that's protected by the First Amendment more than any other, you know, industry I can think of, being able to freely express yourself. So when I felt like, wow, okay, I served my country, but I don't feel like I can freely express my beliefs and opinions and still be able to have a job in this town,
mm-hmm.
That's when it all came crashing to an end for me. And it was really a no-brainer.
That's sad. I mean, so you leave Hollywood, Cade, and you go to Austin, Texas, correct?
I did, yeah. I went back to Colorado for a few years, and then I ended up going to Austin, Texas.
Okay. That was a pretty leftist place, too. Did you jump from the frying pan to the fire? And how is life in Austin? Is it better than Hollywood?
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, look, yeah, Austin is an island in the middle of Texas politically, but it's still Texas. The people there are very friendly. They're open to other opinions and beliefs. So I think Austin it's a great town. I tell you what, it's a little tough on your liver, but it's a great town. It's a lot of fun. I didn't have any problems in Austin with, you know, sort of being free to express my own opinion or feeling safe in doing so, like, what was going on in Hollywood with that crazy industry. But at the end of the day, look, I miss the mountains too much. I was born and raised in Colorado, and I'm back here now, and I couldn't be happier.
Oh, great. Listen, you've written a book called The SEAL Survival Guide, which I just finished reading. Where can our audience get it, and what can they expect to learn from reading it?
Well, number one, thanks for reading the book. It might save your life. I wish I would have known that because I'll send you it, both of you guys. But
thanks. Cool.
You can get it anywhere where they sell books. You can do your Amazon or something like that, and they're available there. I decided, when I was in Hollywood, I did a TV show called Surviving Disaster, and it was quite simply, each episode we'd take a disaster, be it man-made or Mother Nature, for example, a hurricane, and we would throw a group of people right into a scenario, and mm-hmm. then I would be with them the whole way, telling them, this is what you do now, don't do that, do this, and kind of guide them to surviving the disaster. And I figured, the folks at Simon & Schuster approached me after seeing the show, and they're like, this is a great book. And I said, all right, let's do it. And so I wrote the book based on things that most people could find themselves involved in and how do they get out of it. And so it's really a step-by-step for getting first-case scenario of your life, and it's geared towards people that not necessarily have NISIL training experience, but sort of the common person who – it's 2 a.m. and somebody just kicked in my back door. What do I do now?
Right. Ooh, I want a copy of that, Kate. I want to know that from you. Good. Good. Okay, great.
Head your way.
All right. If you're just joining us, welcome to the Conservative Thought Hour. Rick Stannard, along with myself, Carrie Black. We're speaking with Cade Courtley, who actually quit his Hollywood job because he could not fully express his love for his country. He's also a Navy SEAL, written a new book, The SEAL Survival Guide. You know, Cade, there's an old Arabic saying, hard times create hard men. Hard men create easy times. Easy times create easy men. And easy men create hard times. This is a never-ending circle, maybe like a never-ending mm-hmm. circus. You've said that America mm-hmm. is a soft country. Why do you say that? What do you see that makes you feel that way?
I would like to actually restate that as America has become a soft country. We're not a soft nation. At the foundation and the core of what America is and is all about, we will always be hard. I just feel like we have become soft. Mm. And that's a very dangerous place to be. If you look throughout history at countries that at one point dominated the world and then stopped remembering all the work it took to get to that peak, we're going straight down that slope, just like the Roman Empire did. We're becoming more and more soft. And if you don't think there are other countries in this world that are seeing this and saying to themselves, this might be that once in a lifetime opportunity we've been looking for to come in there and crush America, then you're being naive. Honestly, you really are. You've got people like China and Russia that are sitting there saying, we've been waiting forever for this. Look at where America is now. And it's a sad state of affairs. But let me give you just a couple examples. The generation that came up with the participation ribbons and the timeout, that's not going to help you out. You try taking somebody's cell phone away from them for half an hour, they're going to lose their mind and call a lawyer. It's just simple things like that. We've become more and more physically obese as a nation. We've got people that refuse to go get a job because they're getting paid more to stay home. That's not just a financial thing. That's a mindset. So, I mean, there's several examples that I could list even more, but just it makes me nervous. I do not like the national trend that I'm seeing. I've only been on this planet 51 years, but it sure is a different place than I would say even just 15, 10 years ago that I'm looking at now. And I personally don't like what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Well, if you were given the magic wand, how would we fix this?
I think the first thing we need to do is bring back accountability. Accountability for everything. You break the law, boom, you're going to suffer the consequences.
Yep.
You decide to do something immoral or wrong, boom, it's your fault. It's not the victim card no longer works. If we can just reinstall accountability, the rest will really start fixing itself. People's actions will change. I think people's motivations will change. But if you can just do what you want to do and it's never your fault, or you there's no repercussions, then what is the point? That's just a lawless, soulless country.
Yeah, absolutely. Cade, so you were a Navy SEAL. From your perspective, what do you feel is going on with our military? How do we fix that? How will our enemies now view our military? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I mean, I've been seeing some of the presentations, if you want to call it that, regarding trying to recruit maybe a different segment of the population. Folks, I'll break this down. This is really simple. Our military exists to go to war. War is the absolute worst thing in the world. So who do you want to send to go to that? You need war fighters. You need people that are going there. And at the end of the day, who wins the war? The person who kills the other people more. I mean, it really breaks down to that. So let's not try and make people feel comfortable or try not to hurt anybody's feelings, because when you go to war, none of that stuff matters.
Right.
Feelings? Associations with a certain type? No. In the military, you're associated with one group. That's your team, period. Doesn't matter their color, their sexual preference, or what they believe in on a Saturday or a Sunday. That's it. It's your team. You are colorblind. So for politicians to try and do a social experiment when this machine is built for one thing, to win wars, is insane to me. It's insanely naive. It's a waste of time.
Yes.
And it's ideas like this that are floated around and created by people who would have no idea what they would do if they were dropped into Afghanistan or Iraq. They would curl up in a ball, and yet they're trying to come up with these amazing social experiments. No. You want to do something like that? Well, I tell you what. You serve for a month over there, and then you come back, and you see if that's still a really, really good idea.
Good point, Kay. Totally agree. Are we going to replace the camouflage uniforms with rainbow ones?
Nothing would surprise me in 2020, to be honest with you, really.
Yeah. Cade.
The Rainbow Warriors.
The thing that really concerns me is that senior military leaders are buying into this, whatever you want to call it, softness.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been to battle, most of them. How did they get there, and why are they now pushing critical race theory and Project 1619 and all these other things? Why are we wasting time sending military personnel and officers to training like that? Who are these generals?
Well, Rick, I'm not going to say all of them. Some of the senior military leadership is absolutely phenomenal. But I touched on this a little bit earlier in our conversation. There comes a point in time when you're an officer, whether you decide, okay, I served my time, it was awesome, I'm going to do something else, or I'm going to be in it for a career. And unfortunately, when that decision's made, and instead of I'm taking care of my team, I'm taking care of my men, that priority changes over to, and maybe over time, and maybe subtly, I'm going to take care of my career. That's when an officer becomes very dangerous, in my humble opinion. When the career and what you're going to have on your shoulders or on your collar becomes more important than what's going to be good for the overall mission and for the team, that's a dangerous individual. And unfortunately, some of these folks now are very senior leadership positions in the military, and they're saying, all right, well, what's best for my career? Well, my commander-in-chief wants this, so I guess I better toe the line. That
Yeah. So let's presume, let's take a flight of fancy, and let's assume that this next two elections, 2022 and 2024, the conservatives take over and the new president comes in. I don't care what his name is.
From your lips to God. Amen, brother.
My question is it possible to change the senior leadership that has fallen prey to the left siren song? You know, can you just fire them?
Look, in the military, it can be a little difficult, just like it can be with government servants. I think, honestly, one of the biggest mistakes Trump made when he got into office is he didn't clean house. I mean, I'm talking to the departments in our government because, you know, these folks, many of them stayed in and then just became a huge pain in his butt the entire time. You have to clean house. You basically have to. Now, it's easier with the military, and I don't mean cleaning house, but you basically say, I am your commander-in-chief, and this is our plan, which is why I can understand some of the senior military leadership right now is probably struggling under Biden, because at the end of the day, this is my boss, and I have to do what he's told. That's the way the military works. But, I think whoever is going to be our next president, and I certainly hope it's a Republican, they're going to have to take a really close look at what's going on with all these departments, to include the Department of Defense, and just say to themselves, hey, if folks aren't willing to get on board with what we're going to do to clean up the mess of the last 4 years, then they need to find another job.
Yes. Amen. But that's going to be really difficult. Sebastian Gorka, who used to be on Trump's team and is a fabulous conservative,
yes,
was on television the other night, and he admitted the biggest failing of the Trump administration was they came in with a core of a dozen or so committed change agents. They did not have a full team ready to go of people to replace the swamp. And he said that's where they went wrong.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if they...
I'd agree with that. And he spent the next 4 years with these people stabbing him in the back daily. So, lessons learned. Every time I went out on an operation in SEAL teams, we'd come back, and the first thing we'd do is what we call an after-action review. What did we do good? What did we do bad? And what do we need to change?
Absolutely.
And, you know, you learn, and you learn from that. So I hope whoever is eyeballing, you know, the White House right now, they're taking a look at what went wrong in the last administration, saying, all right, well, we're not going to make that same mistake, because history will repeat itself if you don't change it.
True enough. Listen, we're living in a country where it's been estimated that 30-35% of our population is actively trying to turn this into a socialist country. That's a large number of people. I have to tell you that as a conservative, I believe that it's their right to live in whatever kind of country they want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd prefer they go live in China or Russia and find their socialism that way rather than try to steal our country from us. But we've got these cities. I don't know how or if they're ever going to come back to the conservative fold, to the American ideal. And a lot of people are talking about actually splitting the country.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Prager from Prager University believes that the country should split by county. So those counties like Cook County and Fulton County in Georgia, where the big cities are, they should go ahead and start their own country and be as socialist as they want to.
Yeah.
And leave the rest of the country to us. I just don't know how we're going to have a country where every election you pull out a different set of rules and a different set of laws, and with the Democrats win, you're going to be a socialist country. And if the Republicans win, you're going back to be a conservative country. How do you continue that? How do you fix that? Any thoughts?
Well, I have some thoughts. Remember I talked about the politician who's trying to make policy for a different military who's never been on the ground in Iraq or Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm.
I want to send that 35% of the population for a summer vacation in Venezuela. And you see how many of those folks come back and say, yeah, that works great. I love it. oh, by the way, I haven't had anything to eat in a couple of days. And, you know, it's ridiculous. It's this dreamology of this working great and everybody gets the same thing. And it's proven time and time and time again to be a failing system. But this dreamology that some of these folks have, they just need to wake up. Unfortunately, I mean, what's that wake-up call going to be?
Right.
No, I don't think they're going to voluntarily leave the country and go live in a socialist country. They won't do that. You know, they don't have the convictions that they try and pretend they do on Instagram. So that's never going to happen. So my fear is, with what's going on right now and how divided we are, and what this great percentage of the population with these incredibly naive ideas, what I fear, and I talked about a little bit earlier about us getting softer and softer, is it going to be another 9/11 that's going to be a wake-up call for us? Is it going to be a severe action or event that's literally going to be like, wow, okay, that was a wake-up call, and I just hope it doesn't come to that. But what's it going to take? I don't know. I pray it does not come to that. But America is going to need a wake-up call to get out of this dream state of naiveness that so many of our population have. Now, as far as turning every county into its own, you know, in theory, that would be amazing. I mean, I live in a portion of Colorado. Colorado's a deeply divided state. The northern part of Colorado is like they tried to secede several of their counties several years ago, and it didn't happen. But I can understand where you live in a state and – because of a greater population areas, like a state capital, believe in one thing, and you're in a county, you know, maybe 2 hours to the north, and have absolutely opposing beliefs. Mm. That's incredibly frustrating. But what do you do about it? I'm hoping we don't have to become the divided counties of the United States of America. I guess at the end of the day, it's going to come down to some form of leadership, whether that's elected leadership. Maybe that's an individual that just rises to the occasion and try and brings us back together. But I really, truly pray that it's not some kind of nasty event that's going to be required for us to wake up.
Absolutely, Cade. You're so right. And, Rick, you bring up a good point. I mean, one of your old states, Cade, Texas, has the Texas National Movement that wants Texas to leave the Union entirely and become its own republic. So there's just another example of that, Rick. So you bring up a good point.
Indeed, indeed. So, Cade, as part of all of this, there's a continued attack on the Second Amendment. Why do we need guns?
Do you think there is any country in the world that is going to actually attempt to invade America with the millions of gun owners out there in this country? Good luck with that.
Now, we were talking about the Second Amendment. This is, it's not a given that it's going to exist into the future. When I was in high school, and I hate to tell everybody when that was.
When was it, Rick?
Back in the early 60s.
Now, Rick, did you where did you park your horse when you went to class?
What do you mean, park the horse? I rode him in a schoolroom. All right. But when... In those days, we were taught that the Second Amendment was put into the Bill of Rights so that citizens could protect themselves from their own government. In 1960, as a high school student, I had a hard time believing that. You know, the government was us. The government was for us.
Amen.
How could we possibly need guns to protect ourselves from us? And here I think we have the answer to that. We need the guns to protect ourselves from us. What do you think about this, Cade?
You know, Rick, there are millions of people out there that are scratching their head wondering, why is this administration and why are the Democrats doing these things? And the answer is always the same. Power and control.
Yep.
Why are they allowing us to have an open border? Because those are future voters. Control and power. Why do they want to take our guns away from us? They say it's to reduce crime. No, mm-hmm. ultimately, it's for power and control. Mm-hmm. Why are they allowing some people to have views on social media, but others not to? Power and control. It always boils down to those two words with everything they're trying to do. It's really that simple.
Mm. It's just shocking. It really is. And you're right, Kate. It is about power. It's that love of money. It's the love of power. And, you know.
I mean, and it's and for these career politicians, it's just kind of disgusting. I mean, can you name more than a handful of politicians, and most of them are younger, that are in it to try and serve their constituents? I think that idea is lost, and it's a shame. You know, I don't know if they're in it for a certain amount of time. And look, this is I'm painting with a broad stroke. There are some amazing folks representing this country that are in politics. There really are. I mean, you know, you've got your Christine Noems and you got your Dan Crenshaws out there that, you know, I really think they're in it for the right reason. Their heart is in the right place. But, you know, once these folks are in there for a while, it's no longer I'm trying to help my constituents. It becomes a business. Biden became a multimillionaire serving for 40-plus years. How did that happen? Do the math on what a senator gets paid annually.
Mm-hmm.
How's this guy worth millions and millions of dollars? You know, like they say, follow the money. It's crazy to me.
Well, it sounds like the exact same problem you just described in the military. At some point at 9 years, they got to make a choice. And if they choose career,
well, yeah. I mean, I need to reemphasize: there are some amazing senior leaders in the military, incredible, but they're kind of in a fix because basically in the military, you follow orders. Okay, so I can appreciate the frustration that a lot of them are probably dealing with, but with politics, when does it become just self-preservation, checking account preservation? When does that happen? I don't know, but it's rampant, and yeah, and then you have the sector that's the naive dreamers again, and it's like, okay, take a walk in somebody's shoes, like take a walk in the Border Patrol shoes for a week, take a walk in a soldier's shoes that's over in Syria for a week, and let's see how naive you are when you come back to the States and realize how incredibly amazing this country is.
Indeed, indeed. Well, you know, our foreign policy appears to make us look weak. We, for instance, flew the rainbow LGBTQ flag over the U.S. Embassy at Vatican City.
Right.
This is an incredible insult to Catholics.
Oh.
How is the rest of the world viewing our current administration? Are we creating problems for our military?
Well, look, you know, I was in the military during the Don't Ask, Don't Tell when that first came in, and I'll go right back to what I said earlier. When bullets are flying, you don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't care what your preference is. I really don't. So as far as the military is concerned, you know, it just didn't matter. I've got your back. We've got a mission to do. Let's go do it. Let's
right.
be effective.
Right.
As far as foreign policy is concerned, you know, again, I touched on it earlier. If flying a flag is a priority for America and what we represent right now, there are countries out there saying, wow, these folks are lost and vulnerable if this is their priority. What about protecting ourselves? What about cyber attacks? You know, just a flag or trying to keep our energy supply flowing to the Eastern Seaboard. Just, again, I hate to say it. I hope I'm wrong. I truly hope I'm wrong. I hope it's not going to be a major destructive wake-up call.
Well,
that's going to require us to be like, oh, okay, what's really important?
Well, if it's a major wake-up call, I'm afraid 9/11 is going to appear small to what might come.
Mm-hmm.
We just read news that Guangdong province in China is building not one or two, but 25 new virology labs, just like the Wuhan lab.
Yep.
And
great.
That's scary.
That worked out awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Cade. Great.
It's this is a scary place, the world.
Look, I am not a conspiracy guy. I'm really not. So mm-hmm. I'm stepping back and looking at the data and trying to analyze the last 16 plus months. Who ended up benefiting the most and who got hurt the most from what happened with Corona? With COVID.
Okay.
Do you think China really cares if they lose 1 or 2 million of their population? Doesn't affect them a bit. What happened to us, the United States, as far as financial, even just psychologically? We got hammered. So if you step back and say, all right, who benefited the most? This was a big win for China.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did they do this on purpose? I don't know. But they ended up being the big winners from COVID.
Hmm. Well, our guest last week, Dr. Dana Cheng from the Epoch Times, was born in Wuhan. And she made an interesting statement that the leak from the lab may or may not have been on purpose. What was on purpose was that China sent it around the world on purpose
mm-hmm.
because they blocked travel from town to town, from city to city, from province to province. What they didn't block was Chinese citizens flying around the world. That was an intentional spread of this virus. Whether or not it leaked intentionally doesn't matter. They weaponized it, and it had to be on purpose.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, again, I'll go back to who benefited the most from this. And when President Trump decided, hey, I'm going to institute a travel ban, he was racist.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Okay, naive Sallys.
Well, exactly. You know, that's another whole statement, another whole show. Racism. I firmly convinced that maybe I'm a racist because to me, race just doesn't matter. I don't care about it.
Right. You care about the person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, racism.
Yeah, I mean, it's a that's a concept that used to make sense. I don't get it either. Again, there's no better and more amazing melting pot than the United States military. And it's just, hey, it doesn't matter. When the bullets start flying, we all need to be able to do our jobs, and we're all going to watch each other's back. God, I wish we could try that on a national level here in the United States.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Absolutely.
Right now, we're shooting each other in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Cade, yeah. Before we let you go, again, we're speaking with Cade Courtley, former actor, TV host, and former Navy SEAL, who quit his Hollywood job because he couldn't fully express his love for the United States while working in the industry. But, Cade, you made one last pitch to Hollywood before leaving by appearing on Shark Tank back in 2016 in hopes of getting the investors to back your new business called Victory Coffees. Now, even though the tankers took a pass on backing you, you launched the company anyway. It's going strong. Tell us what your company is all about and our listeners.
Well, I tell you what, I left Hollywood and I said, now I want to do something according to my rules, my moral compass, and the way I like to live my life. So I started Victory Coffees. It's obviously a veteran-owned company. We deliver award-winning coffee to your door every month. And we are an unapologetically patriotic company that believes in liberty, freedom, and the Constitution of the United States. And I tell people, if you have a problem with that, we don't want your business. Go get yourself a $5 cup of crap from Seattle. And it's as simple as that. Yeah,
I love it.
I decided to do Shark Tank for one reason and one reason only. I did not have the budget to get 6 minutes of primetime air to be able to discuss what my company was. I didn't want a cent of their money, but they've rerun the episode probably 15 times. I get a great spike every time they do. They said, no, we're not interested. And I said to the Sharks, if any of them are listening, and I highly doubt it, but if any of them are listening, we just had our six-year anniversary at Victory Coffees. We are killing it. You screwed up, Sharks. Thank you.
I love it, Cade.
How can our audience find Victory Coffees? Do you work on a national basis?
Website, all that.
Guys, it's really easy. Go to victorycoffees.com, click on the green button, and it's a three-step process. Your award-winning coffee will be heading your way within a couple of days. It's really that easy. We have whole bean. We have ground. Our number one seller is our K-Cups because they're the strongest K-Cups out there on the market. And give us a try. We even have a sample pack if you want to figure out what you want first. There's no commitment. You can cancel anytime. But getting award-winning coffee coming to your door that's just a buck a cup, if coffee matters to you, and it certainly does to me, if you want to start your day with a victory, go to victorycoffees.com, guys.
That's great. Where do you get your coffee from, Cade?
We source from Central, South America, Indonesia. Again, they only give Roaster of the Year out to one company once a year, and we got it.
Oh, that's great.
Fabulous.
Congratulations. Well, Cade, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for being here, and you're a true patriot, and Rick and I just can't say thanks enough.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Folks, keep your chins up. I love this country. It's a great place. It's a little difficult right now, but we will get through this. The pendulum will swing back. Just keep your chins up.
Amen.
Take care, Cade. See ya.